It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Heart and Hand, the Rangers podcast. My name is David Edgar, and as always, I am your host. And in a bit of a novelty this week, two of our stalwart podders, who over the past couple of seasons have been dragged out on a Monday after yet another bad performance, bad result, or things going to shit. I thought, wouldn't it be a novelty to reunite them when things are actually going well for once, as Rangers, of course, beat St Johnstone to climb to the top of the table. Joining me, first of all, is Andy McGowan.
Hello, David. I'll try not to kill everybody's buzz today.
Yeah, I mean, you're owed it. You have plenty of things where people have turned to you expecting some sort of cheer today. But a man who's been accused of that in the past, falsely, in my opinion. But he's here nonetheless. It's Martin Ramsey.
How are we doing, boys? Yeah, you've not had to smash the glass to press the button to get me on today. So it's a pleasure to be here. Things are looking no bad.
Yeah, it was a genuine thing where I thought, you know what? Those two poor bastards really get dug out after Old Firm losses and not taking advantage of a slip-up by Celtic. It's becoming harder not to take advantage of a slip-up by Celtic as so many of them are coming along, so you would need to hit a period of rather bad form yourself to do it, and Rangers are not in that sort of period. What impressed me about the match against St Johnstone, Andy, was yet again, as I say, Celtic had slipped up, and that's great, and it's been very enjoyable, and it's happening a lot. But it was an unexpected one. I think we tend in Scotland to look at the opponent's home games and go that right, they'll probably be all right in that. You know, even when they're not playing well or when we're not playing well, you tend to think if an error's going to come, it's not going to be at the home stadium. So when they're at home, you think, okay. Good side they're up against, by the way, a Kilmarnock side we're going to be taking on soon, and very well drilled, playing well, full of confidence. But you still thought they would have enough to do it, and then they concede 92nd minute, and suddenly, you know, it becomes a huge opportunity at Perth on the Sunday. In the past, the recent past, and you don't have to go back that far, Rangers teams given this opportunity have tended to freeze a wee bit. And it's almost to me, I've felt at times that they've approached this less as here's a great opportunity, as, oh God, if we screw this up. And they've been inhibited in their play and the way that they've played. Now, I'm not in any way going to turn around and say that yesterday was a classic, but it was more the manner of it. At no point did you think Rangers were going to drop points. And I got the impression the team just went out and got, we are going to do this. And it was very businesslike. The word professional kicks about a lot in situations like that. But it was, and it was almost like, yes, we are going to go in. Almost like what the manager's been saying, that they do focus on themselves rather than, right, they slipped up. It was more about, we know what we're going to do. We're going to go out, and if we do what we intend to do, we will win this match. And I, I suppose it was the way they carried themselves. I just noted was a bit different from previous times where we've been in a situation or one like it.
Sort of a mindset, David. And the point I would make there is that the support, me, you, Martin, everybody, probably are as guilty of having a failure mindset as probably the team that have taken a part in the past when these opportunities have arisen. And it's just completely changed. It doesn't just change by chance or by accident. It's changed because there is very justified belief now when we watch our team, because there's been such a turnaround in our Clermont in terms of purpose, squeezing the last bit of ability out of every player, and just general belief that, you know, if we lose a goal or if it's not going to plan or if we're going to the last 20 minutes and it's still tight, there is a different belief and a mindset now that will be or could be the difference between winning things and not winning things. So it's everything, Davey. It's too easy to just say it's the team. It's the support as well. I firmly believe that even at Ibrox, when we lost the goal at Ross County, when they scored that goal, I don't think there was many people on the ground thinking, well, that's us snookered now. Whereas in the past, and in the recent past, as you say, you lose a goal and you're like, we're not going to come back for this because it was mentally short and the players and the ability and the game plan just wasn't there. Everything has changed, and you can see the same across the road, because I think that we should recognise more than most what they're going through just now, because when you lose belief on the part and off the park, it's very, very hard to turn around, and hopefully we're the ones that are going to benefit for this over the next weeks and months.
Martin, when you've been on here in the past, we've discussed Rangers managers, and you've kind of circled back to a point, which is at Rangers, the manager, on top of being a good coach and all the rest of it, right? But you expect that anyone who gets that level should have that experience. They have to be a leader, and they have to be prepared to lead. That's, you know, there's two different things there that they have to accept. We do not have a figurehead of, you know, a chairman, alas, a Murray in the 90s, or we do not have that at our club. At our club, we really look to the manager to be that guy who goes out there and says, this is how we're going to do it. This is what I want us to do. It sets the agenda, if you like. And that can go both ways. That's also protecting the players at times. It's also G'ing them up privately. And we've seen both sides of that with Philippe Clermont. He just seems to have taken that on right from when he arrived. And right from when he arrived, realising what he had, incidentally, which was a squad of players that were broken, you know, shit out of confidence. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Not, as he put it himself, not wanting to make a forward pass in case they lost the ball. That's what he noticed watching our games this season before he arrived, that they didn't want to. They were frightened to do it. And he somehow managed to make it a way to say, I'll take the blame. If it goes wrong, you go out there and do this. And that leadership, if you like, I think has allowed the players. You never hear, for example, at the moment about Tav as a captain, because he's just getting on with being a very, very good footballer. And you can see guys who are taking responsibility on the park, but for their own performances first and foremost. And for me, that all leads back to the guy in the dugout.
No, it absolutely does. And it's easy to kind of decry or dismiss the role of leadership as a manager in the modern game. You can't spit it out a computer, I suppose. You don't have to deal with it when you're playing Football Manager. But, you know, Rangers is not a normal club, for better and worse. And it does matter. For those reasons, Davey, dealing with the pressure, dealing with the expectation, taking that on his shoulders, frees up players. It's empowerment. It's empowering players to do their job, as you said. I wrote something last week. I think we've appointed the first proper football manager since Walter, in the true sense of the word. I think he is a good coach. I think he has ideas, general ideas about how he wants football to be played, how his team, how he wants his team to look. but he's not utterly beholden to them. He sees that, he appears to see that as a large incremental bit of work, and the focus is just on accumulating points as we go, rather than the other way around. And he is a manager. He's managing a shit show of a situation when he came in. He's still not dealing with a great Ranger squad, if we're being honest. But he is managing them appropriately. Yesterday was about managing. A wee bit like St Mirren a few weeks ago. Conditions, this time it was more the pitch, which was a disgrace. So it was kind of managed brutality. Instead of trying to go out and play football the way it should be or whatever. It's not going to be like that today. It can't be like that today. But we will do what we can. It can't even be like Wednesday night with, 400 shots in goal, whatever it was. It was a managed performance, and that absolutely comes from him. And it's just huge. Unless we're ever in a position as a club where we're just so much stronger than the rest, we need that. Even when we were, we still needed that. And there's just too much to take on. It's too much for the players that come to this club to take on. And you do need someone to hold that. And he's certainly doing that at the moment.
Yeah, Martin's point there about adapting to the circumstances, I think, is well made, Andy. And yesterday, the pitch was awful. I mean, it really was bad. You couldn't make short, snappy passes because one of them would go wrong because of the pitch. And Rangers adapted, and it wasn't pretty, incidentally, but the manager didn't try to kid anybody beyond before it was going to be. He said, this is what we're going to do. And I think in terms of situational awareness, at half-time, he hauls off Scott Wright and doesn't stick on Ross McCausland. He sticks on Dujon Sterling and said, I want you to go out there, win all your battles and get into the box. And he does, and I thought Dujon Sterling was absolutely brilliant in the second half on this bog of a pitch, because it's not about, as Martin says, well, this is how we play and we don't deviate for anybody or any circumstance. It's a case of, right, what do I need to do today to win this match? And it's that attitude that I think has allowed them to look at the squad, which has weaknesses, there's no doubt about it, but he doesn't really focus on what it can't do. He tends to look, he says himself, I look for solutions, not for problems. And he does tend to look for that and just go, right, well, what can I do to fix this? And he's getting it right an awful lot.
There's only one type of football, and it's winning football. And you know, we've had, I think it was during the Warburton era where we were refreshed by the style of play, but as Martin kind of says there was no, it was too dogmatic because it was that or nothing, you know. And what you've got now is a manager who is supremely pragmatic, and there is such a beauty in the simplicity. Even you hear him speak, he's speaking naturally. He's speaking what comes to mind, and it's usually bang on. And I think that is what you would hear in and around the training ground in the dressing room. If we were lucky enough to be flies on the wall, I think the message is simple but sufficient. And I think from day one, he's came in and gave standards, clarity of standards.
Yeah.
And you see that in terms of leadership, for example, when Rangers as a club were making noises around Colum, he comes out and says what he said in terms of, you know, wouldn't have been my kind of take on things, and I back referees. That is supreme leadership, because there's no doubt to anybody inward or outward on who's in charge and who has the, maybe not the final say overall, because we know how a club operates, but in terms of football department, he is unquestionably the boss. But it doesn't, you don't just get that kind of level of respect or what's the word, you know, where people will take your word and understand it and trust it.
Trust.
Trust. You don't get that. That's even for me, that's a low bar. So
that's, Andy, a really key point. I think that's a really key insight into everything he does. It's simple. You don't need a coaching manual. You don't need to be on a course. And the other thing that I like about it is seeing press conferences, the manager comes in and he says, this is what I want them to do. and then the players come in and say, this is what he tells us to do. And it's the same thing. And then on the pitch, you see that happen. It doesn't always go, you know, success, but you see, that's what they're trying to do. And then as a fan, you can begin to go, right, I trust that.
I trust him.
He's not Barry Fry. I mean, he is capable of complex football and ideas. He just understood this squad isn't capable of taking them on. And Rangers have failed and failed so often in the recent past by bringing in managers who had grand ideas, grand presentations, but we're not dealing with personnel who could at least absorb that initially. So what seems to come through his messaging is incremental progress, but clarity of message. Andy's mentioned something that's been said often enough. You can just imagine him in training being utterly clear about what he's wanting. Also, let's not be completely revisionist in terms of what we maybe wanted at the time he came in. A lot of us did want a more radical change in approach, because we have been pragmatic, just not particularly good at execution in the last few years, last few managers. I've never bought there's been much difference in the last three, to be honest. So I could completely understand the desire back in October for a radical change, a kind of Postecoglou, let's be honest. Now, we didn't get that, but we have got the pragmatism back, but just well executed and done at a reasonable pace by someone who is utterly, utterly in charge. So I think the complex football thing, I don't think it's in the bin and it's for your foreign types and we'll never see the light of day. I just think it is just going to be gradually and gradually built. And when he has the players that he feels can deliver it, which he does not, this is not a great legendary Rangers squad. It could well become one, but you know, he's dealing with players who have been overcomplicated before and have looked lost and have failed. And it is just a rational, reasonable, pragmatic way to do it, a very Rangers way to do it.
But the proof has been in the pudding as well, and this is where even we as fans who, you know, let's face it, we're hypercritical, we pour over every detail. Everything, I'm trying to think...
You're fucking murdered.
I could give a shit.
Yeah, that'll come, it'll come.
Well, I often said football changes fast, and I've kept saying, oh Christ, this isn't changing fast enough for my saying. But it has, because you've had it in 4 months, right? But the point I was going to make is that his decisions that he makes have all been proven to be the right decision. You talk about Sterling on Sunday, but there was also, what was the game he played him at kind of outside left?
And you're like, shit pitch, yeah.
But it worked, you know, and whereas you can look after the game and say, oh, it didn't quite work. It did, because the result dictates it works. So I think that it's been good so far, right? We will hit bumps, and I think Parkhead was a big, big point in Clement's tenure, right? It sounds crazy, but the way we've reacted to it and the way he reacted to it, even post-match, where he was quite ballsy, I think that's the whole demeanour of the man, that, you know, he knows exactly what he's about and he's true to himself, and I think the team now totally get it, totally understand. But I'll go back to the point, David, and it's massive. The support do as well. The support are kind of... the belief is back, whereas, you know, 1-0 yesterday with 20 minutes to go, previous, a matter of weeks beforehand, we'd have been sitting there chewing our nails off. And it's not the case now, because we've got such control.
No, I've noticed going to games that, you know, the atmosphere's totally different. People were bouncing into Ibrox for that run of four games, really looking forward to it. Yesterday, there were no spares outside, you know, and just people are, as you say, confident and happy, and it has been for a while, and we need to keep our feet in the ground a little bit, because, to use the immortal words of Jimmy Bell, you've won fuck all yet, and it's true, we need to go on and clinch this title. But let's talk a little bit about the game then. I mean, the first half, very little happened. St Johnstone happy to let us have the ball. We were, you know, in command, never in any bother, but we weren't creating much. And sometimes you need a wee bit of quality. Then Martin stepped forward, Mo Diomande, who has settled in pretty quickly.
Yeah, even before the goal, just looked impressive. Just knowing where to be, nice touches again, given the circumstances, the pitch, everything else. What an introduction, really, to life in Scotland. But he just adapted, and I think adaptability is a word that we've used before, and we probably will as the season draws to a close. His second touch was obviously fantastic, but don't dismiss the importance of the first, especially on that surface. That little drag just killed the ball. And how important is it for a player who, you know, is going to cost us a fair wedge for where we are, in a position that people had raised some questions about in January? Was that a priority? Obviously, it was a long-term one. And how many... Every recruitment decision is a gamble, but how many gambles have we taken, and it's taken ages for these guys to kind of come to the party, if at all. What a moment for him to immediately pretty much stamp his authority on that shot, on the position. And no one's gonna talk about that deal at all anymore. You need to get off to fast starts at this club, otherwise it becomes really, 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 really difficult. So and although no one was in fear yesterday, Davey, I don't think, because of the nature of the game, you all like to see that first goal go in. Just gonna settle everyone down. Because it was garbage, let's be honest, for that open spell. Cantwell was trying what he could to link things together. So a moment of brilliance. Well, there we are, off and running.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need that, absolutely, and it's something that the team has lacked a fair bit in the last few years, with the exception of Tav, who's manfully tried it, but it was good to see, you know, other players stepping up and coming to the fore. So in the second half, Andy, you know, can Rangers add to it? Dujon Sterling, who did play very well but missed a really glorious chance early on, and I think Rangers just need this second to make it a wee bit less nervy. Sterling does brilliantly, goes into the box, and it's one of those really clear penalties, the ones that if you're a referee, you love, because there's zero doubt about it. Two boys going for the ball, one player gets there first, touches it inside, in goes the defender, takes him out. It's a penalty kick, nice and easy. And it wasn't awarded on the pitch. Now, I know that we get told that we're paranoid, and, you know, try being a fan of another club, you don't get any decisions or whatever, but that was a referee who was shitting himself to give that penalty kick, and didn't want the responsibility of giving that penalty kick, and I'll leave it to VAR. But, I mean, the clearest penalty kick you will ever see.
And what surprises me about this is that he should be able to give it without the fear of making a mistake, because if he has made a mistake, VAR's going to roll it back. All that would happen there is
he has made a mistake because he didn't give it.
Aye, but so he's looking at his linesman. I'm being generous to him here, right? I admit that. He's looking at his linesman to see if he flags or whatever.
He wanted desperately for someone else to say, no, you can do it.
But I mean,
well, Martin's right, because you're right. First of all, he looks at the... He puts the whistle to his mouth. I mean, you can see that in the pictures. Then he looks at the linesman. The linesman doesn't give it. And then he thought, I'll just wait for VAR. I honestly think if I'd walked on the pitch and took his hand and went, it's all right, you can give it, he would have done. But it really was that bad. And don't tell me there's no fear factor with them there when they're presented with one that's the most obvious thing in the world. Also, another reason is I think you always know by a player's reaction. And the fact that Sterling was apoplectic, and the St. Johnstone player was just hiding, you know, that, well, I'll just get out of Dodge. You can tell.
I agree. And even Considine, and there was a centre half, I can't remember the boy's name, is it Gordon? If you look at it, you see his reaction immediately when the tackle goes in. But I just don't know why he doesn't feel like, I can give that because it looks like it, and if I'm wrong, then it gets rolled back. And then the only harm to him is that he's had it corrected. But so, I don't know. The culture of VAR in this country is such that you've got people, quite prominent people, wanting to roll it back, right? They want to get rid of it, which to me is the most, it's beyond backward. Because if you think where we're going to be in 10 years' time in terms of technology, this type of technology, And we're wanting to actually kill it at birth, it just beggars belief. So the referees, to your point about fear, are we trying to say here that, you know, pressure on referees and the spotlight that's been on them in the past weeks and penalty Rangers and all that nonsense, does that affect them? I think it does. I don't think you'd be human if it didn't affect you in the moment. But it was a clear penalty. So was the second one. And I don't want to jump to Levine, but Levine's made a point about more about decisions in a collective sense, Martin, as opposed to the two yesterday, because he could not have had one grudge to that yesterday. But it feeds into a narrative against Rangers. So he's not doing us any favours. No, that's his job. But
no,
if you're watching that as a... He's creating a squirrel against us.
Yeah, he's creating a squirrel with that second one, because the game's done at that point anyway. He's creating a bit of I'll talk about this on the fact that we've not managed a shot at home against the team. And he said, you know, I don't know what penalties are these days. But look, that's a lie. We all know how the handball rule works. Yeah, there's some bad ones given, and you're allowed to say, I don't think that was a penalty. Like, there was what was the game in England, Martin? Luton versus Sheffield United, I think.
Yeah, last week, yeah.
Where there were a couple of penalty handballs that I was like, that. Even under the legislation, they're not penalties. But this one ticks every single box. Goal-bound shot, distance. It's not from a yard away. Boy's hand is out from his body. It's a penalty. Now, you can say, I don't like that rule. You can certainly say, I don't like that rule. And I think accidental handball should not be punished. But it is the rule, and the ref, well, VAR are quite right to give it.
They are, thank goodness VAR's around in order to do that. Levine's kind of outburst is quite indicative. Yes, it's a managerial trope, and every one of them is doing it. If you start making refereeing decisions the story, no one talks about how poorly you played, and everyone does. But I think Andy's right that it's maybe a collective frustration. I think they've had a few bad ones. I think you mentioned that six now or something recently. Almost kind of indicating what a natural anti-St. Johnstone bias inherent in the system. but it kind of points to something that we all think, football fans, I mean, that we're hard done to, and we're the only ones. Every fan base in the world thinks everyone's out to get them. It's how we view it. Some might have a more legitimate claim than others, but that sense that, you know, we're not getting a fair crack at the whip. Who, with all the best will in the world, who cares about St. Johnstone? And I think that the refereeing hesitancy, there could well be something in that with the specific culture and pressure and kind of noise in this country. But it's been also been fairly common in other leagues who took to VAR earlier that referees would all of a sudden be a bit more hesitant and say, well, I don't have to be proactive here because the game could get run back and I'll get another look at that. And mm-hmm. I will not look stupid because I have, you know, I've not jumped in and given something. You're quite correct, David. You look stupid by not doing that. You can't win. But that kind of hesitancy, we saw it in England, we've seen it in Germany as well. but people just get used to it because it's here, it's not going away. And it could well be a bit of that. He didn't. He just didn't want to. He didn't want to go there. But thankfully, it was academic.
Can I give Levine some credit?
Sure.
I thought that his one take, downtrodden, quivering lip act, which he did on Sky and then repeated for Sports Scene.
It's great when they do
I
that.
That was admirable. And I think
did he,
you know,
did he, River, did he do the wee catch in the throat?
Aye, you know the wee. I mean, River City awaits because I was really impressed by how both takes were so similar and you know, believable.
River City's
all as if it's just a big act, Andy.
It's all as if it's a pantomime, yes, and it continues. Now, I wanted to talk about a player who's been doing well, and I'm not going to have a go at him, but it's Cyril Dessers, who came on yesterday, hit the bar, but missed another couple of good chances, and didn't matter, because obviously we won the game. Got two in midweek, but missed a few others as well. However, here's the thing. It was actually our podder, Adam, our tactics guy, who put this idea in my head. None of the other strikers Rangers have used get on the end of chances as often as he does. Not even close. And you could say, well, I'd love chances like that to fall to Silva, Martin. But there's a reason that they keep falling to Dessers. So how do you balance this? Do you say to yourself, well, look, he's doing the hard part, which is getting into the position, and it's just a case of coaching or confidence or whatever? Or do you just accept this is a striker who scores a few and misses a few?
Well, we've no other choice but the last, because we can't do anything about it at the moment. I think Adam's, well, the stats would back that up. He gets in great positions, which is either an incredible increasing amount of luck, or he's just very good. He has very good awareness. He probably plays the percentages a lot, because how often is he offside as well? So he's maybe just quite clearly he's willing to gamble with space. So be quite proactive there, which is why, you know, he'll get the flag, but sometimes he'll find themselves in acres of space, which is great. But the second part is quite important. And if this gets tight, if it gets narrow, you know, can we afford five good chances for one goal? I suppose that the bright side, the glass half full, Davey, is that for all those misses, and there was another few beauties, he's still there. He will score again. He doesn't seem to let it bother him too much.
No, he doesn't.
And maybe he accepts that's who he is, and that's what the kind of striker he is. And we'll just have to as well. It is the one interesting factor with the manager. I'm not entirely sure he knows what he wants, needs up there, because he's mixing that up now. He might just be, you know, it's been a pretty compressed series of games, series of few weeks. He might just be rotating as he's rotating elsewhere. I'm not entirely convinced he's absolutely sure about how to use either. And you do wonder with that particular position whether we could be doing with a bit of consistency there. But he'll continue to show, he will score. But it's just as well we create 43 chances in the game, I guess.
Andy?
Well, you know, I've been highly, highly critical of Cyril Dessers, but 14 goals, which he played, I don't know many games, but 14 goals, 7 assists, I think it is. And a lot of the things I criticise him for are getting better. He is getting better at hold-up play. He's becoming more of a nuisance for centre-halves. And as you've quite rightly said, Silva played for how long and barely had a chance. And there, Dessers could have had a hat-trick within a 20-minute space. So he's playing.
The manager would say though, yeah, that's part of it, that I get Silva. Silva ran the defence, works really hard. Silva ran the defence, and that creates, you know, they're tired. Cyril comes on and exploits the space. So the manager will tell you, and I think not unreasonably, that that's part of the plan. He plays 90 minutes. We would like it all done inside 15, but yeah, the manager sets tactics for 90 minutes.
Well, I think the contrast between Dessers and Silva is deliberate. I mean, if you're a centre-half or any kind of defender and you're playing against Dessers in the first half and then you've got Silva, that's two totally different propositions.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of his thinking. And I'm willing to give Dessers the benefit of the doubt because, A, we've no other choice right now. I don't think it's a long-term solution because for as long as he misses those kind of chances where he, you know, he was through in goals yesterday, there's always going to be question marks over him. But we've had strikers like that in the past. I don't want to name names because it sounds ridiculous, but we've had high-profile strikers that we love and love dearly, and I've seen them do that kind of thing before. Listen, if we have a great season this year, Dessers have done his part. That is the way it's looking at this moment in time. So he's winning us over by sheer will of endurance. You know, he's came through the hardest thing that you can come through as a Rangers player, and you can't argue his numbers. You just can't. And I mean, the two goals against Ross County were fantastic. They were really, really good goals. And if he keeps doing that, then we can't argue it.
No, I mean, that's fair. There was a lot of wailing and gnashing of teeth, Martin, on Thursday morning because we didn't go top of the league, and there was some real coping strategies employed by the other half of the city. Now, I don't want to be a hypocrite because I wasn't too bothered about it because I didn't think it would happen the next weekend, but I thought, you know, now we're in a great position here, right? We've got momentum, we've clawed back a gap. So I'm not going to turn around and say, that's us top of the league now and everything is finished, right? You get nothing for being top of the league in February. It's being there in May that counts. However, you knew there was a but coming, so I went with a fancier however. However, this is the first time in a long time that Rangers have been here at this stage of the season with that momentum. Now, 2 years ago under Gio, you could say, we were in a title race just now. Yeah, but we were the ones who'd let that big lead slip. We did a 6-point lead and we'd let it go. And we had a lead earlier in the season and let it go. And it was Celtic were the team who had the momentum. This is really the first time in years, probably since the 0-0s, that Rangers have felt like, no, we're actually just climbing on, and it's them who are having to react to us for a change, as opposed to us looking at the scoreboard and seeing this big lead. Instead, we are the ones who have, you know, we've hunted it down. I mean, that is what's happened. We have absolutely hunted it down. And now there's a sense of, we just need to keep doing what we're doing. They're the ones who need to do something radical.
Yeah, dynamics are very, very different. I don't think any of us have been here for some time. This kind of situation. I know there was, in effect, a title race 2 years before. I would always quantify that as, when the split comes, is it still a serious conversation? That's really what you're looking for. That's a title race worthy of the name. And obviously that hasn't been the case since 2011. So many factors here, Davey, and it's going to be fascinating to see how it kind of plays out. The pressure is different for us now. The chase is over. That part of it is over. That reeling them in is over. It's now staying the course. It's trading blows on a kind of weekly basis. Obviously, we've got the opportunity on Saturday to make that 5 and that kind of scoreboard pressure and just setting a tone that they weren't able to do at the weekend, because it would have been interesting to see how we would have reacted if Kamala hadn't equalised. And it's just that constant back and forth playing Saturday, Sunday. So this is a new phase that we're entering into. Listen, the manager is at least outwardly, and I would imagine inwardly, is dealing with that in the right way, which is so laser focused on just the game of football that Rangers have to play, and the blinkers are up, right? What anyone else does isn't important at this moment in time. I think he did allow himself the other week when I asked him to talk about maybe the last couple of games, that clearly is important, what else is going on. So, yeah, it's fascinating. Look, David, you were kind of famous, anyone that was sitting beside you at Ibrox over the last few years, when things have not been going well and Rangers went one up, I mean, what would you always ask for?
Not a second goal.
Yeah. which home support is doing that at this moment in time?
Yes.
It's not us. And they were caught with a fairly early lead on Saturday. They were nearly caught home to Ross County not that long ago after scoring after, 1 minute?
Yeah.
It's not enough. Their chance creation's through the floor. And that's new to them as well. they have not really been in that kind of situation either, I don't think. Certainly not with a full parkhead, because, you know, the COVID season and everything around that was quite unique. So change days for us all, and the manager's right to just keep the head, keep the focus on what happens next. As fans, he gives us permission to dream, but we can also look ahead as well. That's how it works. We desperately want to know how this ends. We're impatient. We want to know if we win or we don't. So we will look ahead and we'll circle some big moments. And next Wednesday night, Saturday's a big moment. Saturday will not be an easy game. Hearts are absolutely flying. It's just as good a form as us, I think.
Slightly better, Park. I believe.
Yeah, and Rugby Park already looks kind of massive in terms of tests of this new resolve, this new confidence, and the M word that you mentioned, momentum. All things being equal, Davey, if Celtic were ever able to, I don't know, crack heads together over the next week, say, right, enough nonsense. Remember who you are. Remember what you've won recently. Remember what they've not won. Let's get back on track. Get players coming back, big players coming back, blah, blah, blah. Then it would be really difficult, I still think, for us to kind of match that. But that's far easier said than done. We know this in sport. How many of the, when we're looking as impartial observers and you're just seeing favourites just disappear, what's happening in Germany just now. It's far easier said than done. So, right, boys, come on. Because if it's gone, it's gone. And it's really hard to get momentum back. Really, really, really difficult. So it looks like it's going to be a season for us to just hang in there, keep doing what we're doing, and just allow their implosion to continue. And then you've got enough blue water that it's a lot more comfortable, as it was in 21.
I can't escape putting myself in their shoes. What would our pods be like if we had won both Old Firm games? They had sacked their manager in September, for Christ's sake, whenever it was, and we wake up this morning and we're 2 points behind. We would be... It's very hard to shake that. It's very hard to maintain belief, and talk about mindset earlier on. Yeah. Their support and their team, I think, are sitting there saying, how the hell did we get to this point?
Well, it reminds me a lot of 97, 98.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where I was looking at this poor, and it was an average Celtic side, a well-managed average Celtic side, and there's some parallels there for us. And I just remember spending that season going, how the fuck are we in a title race with this lot? And I think we beat them, what was it, all four league games?
We won three, no, we beat them.
Lost the new year, you're right.
Yeah, we beat them in the cup as well. We won three out of five, drew one at Parkhead and lost there.
But we were
by any metric, a better team, a stronger squad, all the confidence and experience, obviously, of winning nine in the spin. But we were mismanaged. And we were allowed to be mismanaged. And mostly, this is how league football works. The team, the club with the stronger resources, the stronger team, the winning mentality, the history and experience wins. But it doesn't always. And sometimes gifts are bestowed. Sometimes opportunities are presented. We suffered in 97-98. I would say we benefited 04-05. When sometimes it's just not right and you just have to hang in there. And that was an average Celtic team, David, but it was managed quite nicely. See the woods for the trees and all that. Listen, we'll see. You know, there's a danger, of course, always looking at the past for parallels that are absolutely accurate. But they've got a huge job to do in terms of turning this around.
Yeah, that trust that Andy mentioned there, you know, one side has it, one doesn't, and it is an effective weapon. But we reiterate it absolutely means nothing in February. But it is at least nice, Andy. For example, we've got Hearts coming at weekend. They're flying. I can't fucking wait for this. It's a massive game. First versus third. Hearts, you know, playing really well. We are playing really, really well in terms of results and everything. Both sides will come into this confidence. It's Saturday, 3 o'clock. This is what you want. You don't want to be playing friendlies at this time of year like we have been, you know, far too often at this stage of the season.
Yeah, you're too right. I think we forgot a wee bit how this feels. Because Martin makes a great point about the split. We've not been alive at the split for, I can't remember, in last year.
21.
Aye, and we're kind of kicking ourselves.
Yeah, but we'd won the league by the split in 21.
Yeah, everything's pretty much been a ceremony.
There hasn't been a title race of the name in years. 10-11, last one.
And this is what's bringing us alive. I'm going to enter buzzkill territory, so trigger warning. So if we lose one or the other at Rugby Park of Hearts, then we don't lose our shit, because these will happen, these do happen. You just need to look back in history at titles won that you do have testing moments. But what we've got to remember is that to be in the position we are just now, you know, is utterly remarkable. It's beyond my wildest dreams, probably most of us, if you think back to how bad we were. So what we've got to do is, if something goes wrong in either at Rugby Park or in Saturday versus Hearts, we've got to keep the belief, because we will have moments like this, and there's never been a title that's been won where, you know, there's not been a testing moment or two. Clement's kind of referenced that a wee bit. He's said we will have testing moments. So we've got to keep the belief, we've got to understand that we're still in it, and the fact that we're still in it is a minor miracle in itself. So it's something we've just got to cling to, in terms of we've managed to get here and we shouldn't let it slip, but there will be testing moments.
I mean, we will lose our shit if we really drop points at any game.
I don't know. I'll keep calm, then you'll get me back on Monday.
That's it, we'll get Andy back on. But no, I think we'll be all right for a wee while. Yeah, I'm perfectly all right with the side just keeping winning, them keeping dropping points, and then when there's like three games to go, they can lose a couple of points in those ones. That's how magnanimous I am. Isn't that? How calm is that?
Right. Very reasonable. Just,
thank you. Yeah, you know, once you've won the league, I can knock yourselves out. I don't care. But of course I do, because we'll have the cup final and the Europa League cup final to look forward to. Another thing, the draw this week. So, you know, plenty of stuff to be looking forward to. And I just kind of think, you know, this is what brings us alive. This is what we're here for, isn't it?
Bill, I've been looking at routes to Azerbaijan. I've been looking at every tie, possible tie we could get. So
I'm not going to carry a bag. I'll go to the rest of them, but no, Azerbaijan, not for me, I'm afraid.
Well, Femdy knows how to get Azerbaijan. Let me
know. Is there known Azerbaijan Airways that, you know, fly out of Glasgow twice a week?
Is there really? Well,
I think there is.
Go there for gold, is it?
Thank you very, very much for everyone for listening, and thank you, of course, my two fantastic guests. First of all, Martin Ramsey.
Pleasure, David.
And Andy McGowan.
Thanks for having me on, David, on such a positive moment. I won't forget it.
Well, hopefully there'll be several more of them between now and the end of the season. We will, of course, be back next week after we take on Hearts. Cam will be here later in the week with Heart and Hand Extra, and Martin's Dominant Show will drop on Wednesday for those of you who are following it, coming towards its conclusion now. Of course, if you want even more content from us, and you should because it's great, go to patreon.com/heartandhand. And a wee shout out, of course, for our live show in London with special guest Paul Gascoigne on the 21st of March at the Leicester Square Theatre. Just Google Leicester Square Theatre Gaza and up it will pop. Right then, folks, thank you very much for listening. Thanks to our executive producers in London, Mike Lee and Paul Myers. I'll talk to you again next week. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.